Okay, I'm back with Miriam Ortiz-Pino from More Than Organized. Welcome.
Hello, nice to be here again.
Good. We do this once a month and talk about different topics about organizing your life and other things like that. And so this time we're going to talk about deciding what your passions are and working them into your life, right?
Yeah.
And you started out your blog. We can say that on the Facebook KUNM radio page is a link to the blog where you started talking about this. And so you started out by saying about how much TV you watch or how much TV time. Yeah. So, but you changed all that.
Well, no, I still watch lots of TV. It's just the one thing that goes when I'm busy.
Mm.
I kind of reverse engineer it. I schedule my fun time first, and then anything else that comes up during the week or requests that get made have to get weighed against that.
So you make the fun time the priority?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a little bit of an upside down thing, but it works for me, and I find that my clients that try it, it works too. And I'm not saying schedule all of your time for fun, but you know, make sure that that is on the schedule first, and then you actually get to it sometimes.
But first you have to figure out what you want to devote your time to.
Exactly. And I would say that's another thing that a lot of my clients struggle with is being interested in so many things that they never do any of them. And so I would say pick something and try that. And either you'll be done with it after a little while because you've tried it, or you will realize that that's your thing and then you can focus on it.
But it's hard to make that choice. It's hard to give up the other things.
No. not if you actually devote some time to it and see how it feels to you, how it resonates with your own body and yourself. There's different levels of interest. You know, I'm interested in lots of things, but I don't need to know more than a surface amount about them. I don't need to play guitar to enjoy guitar music. I don't need to follow every band in town to enjoy guitar music. I don't need to go to every concert ever to enjoy guitar music. So sometimes you can try something. You know, I tried guitar lessons. I tried various things. I tried following every band in the world. But at a certain point, you have to say, okay, well, how much effort and time do I really want to devote to this on the scale? And do I want to try something else next? And things change. You know, I thought I wanted to try punched tin art. And I did it once, and it cut up my hands, and I went, you know, that's not really for me. I don't need to do that again. So think about what your experience with the activity actually is and where, how much time you need to devote to that to get the charge from it, not to eliminate it entirely or do it exclusively, but how much do you need to get the charge?
So what you're saying is you don't have to be the best at everything that you want to do.
Right.
I guess the classic example is golf, because it takes so much practice to be a really good golfer.
Right.
And people just decide at some point whether they want to put that into it.
Yeah. You know, Malcolm Gladwell talked about the 10,000 times to be proficient at something. And that's kind of what happens with golf. But it takes so long to play a round of golf that I think you really have to weigh whether or not that's something you want to get great at. Or if it's something, you know, just putting in the office might be enough for you to get that charge, to get your head out of workspace. Maybe it's just walking around the golf course and not really caring about your swing too much. Mm-hmm. But whatever level is yours, you know, if it is a passion, make sure you schedule a game a week or a round a week, whatever they call it. Golf, apparently not my passion.
Well, what are some of the things that your clients want to get to and have trouble doing?
Cooking, exercising, playing music, crafting, quilting, beading, going back to school, starting a business, you name it. They feel like they don't have time to do any of it.
What happens when people actually sit down? I mean, I don't think I've ever sort of thought it through, and this is where I'm going to spend my time, and this is the time I'm going to spend on it.
So that's why you don't get to it.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's not actually important. If you're telling me you want to get to something and it's been 5 years since you did it, it must not be that important to you. Obviously, other things that you do get to are more important to you. So taking a step back and looking at that sometimes can be a little bit horrifying when you realize that what you actually care about is what other people think about you or what your family might say if you were to do something like that or disappointing someone. You know, there's these levels of putting it off and using the excuses of I don't have time when really it's something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's more underneath it.
There is. But you're right. The starting place must be taking a little bit of time to think that through. What would you like to be trying?
So, the other thing is you certainly think that people should try different things. I mean,
yeah.
There must be times in your life where you say, okay, enough of that. I want to do something else.
Yeah. I do that all the time. Some of my family is not very happy at how many things I've quit in my life, but it really gets to the point where, like, I like to have fun at it. And if it's no longer fun or someone puts a weird expectation on it or it's obvious that I'm not going to be excellent at it, and so I can appreciate it, but I don't have to participate at that level anymore, I will step back and try something else because there are a few things I'm excellent at. And I'd rather give my attention to those and get the charge back from that than spend a bunch of hours working on something that I'm not actually good at and no longer enjoying because it's a drag once you know that you're not good at it.
It's a little hard, though, to do this on your own because or things depend on other people sometimes.
Right. And that's where the way, you know, making sure it's on your schedule, but then if something comes up with someone, you give it up. And that's, you know, the essence of the blog post. I watch a lot of TV. And that was what I was talking about as the thing I schedule, time to watch TV, which seems crazy to most people. But I like it enough, and I know that I get enough charge out of it that I schedule that. But the week I was writing the post, my brother and sister-in-law were having a baby. And I volunteered to watch my nephew for 2 days while they were having the baby. So that changed my schedule drastically, and I had to weigh that. Do I want to watch my nephew, or do I want to watch TV? Well, duh, I'm going to watch my nephew. That's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hadn't scheduled TV at all, I might have said I could watch him for a week and go make your food for the week and do, you know, 100 other things that I'm not that great at. But I can watch the nephew for a couple days, be pretty good at it, and not miss, you know, getting some TV time in the week as well. You know, it's not sacrificing everything for the other thing.
Okay, so that's where the flex time comes in.
Right.
Talk a little bit about flex time.
Right. Flex time is the choice between two things that are calling for your attention. Which one do you give the attention to? Most people will go with the flow and think that just because someone's asked them to do something or something new comes up that that must be the focus. So they're always jumping to the next urgent thing. The next critical thing. Mm. That's how critical, urgent people run their lives. Everything last minute because it has to get done right now. But some people plan a little bit more, and so then they have the choice of, well, I can – fewer things become urgent in the first place, so that kind of takes that out of the equation. But you also then have much more freedom to choose what you'd really like to do. Do you want to watch TV? Do you want to watch the nephew? Do you want to go to – the movie with friends? Do you want to do some work to make more money? Do you want to make a quilt? Which thing kind of jazzes you up right now?
Mm-hmm.
But you've scheduled time to do the passionate thing, whatever it is, so you have the choice if something else comes up.
And it must involve saying no.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. You need to have some absolute yeses and some absolute nos.
But on the other hand, I mean, there are people that can't say no, especially to, you know, requests.
Right. And that's the problem.
To be on boards and to
right.
be on committees and to.
Yeah. And then they run around grumbling about it the whole time. Like, oh, this board, it's such a nightmare. I can't believe I'm on this thing. It's so soul sucking. Well, you know, maybe be on the board and not commit to every committee on the board. Maybe just be on the board. Or one committee, not every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe volunteer to bake one round of cookies for the bake sale, not bake the 20 loaves of bread. Maybe, you know, there's ways to adjust sliding scale-wise. But you are right. Saying no is a very big problem, especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's then they burn themselves out and don't ever get to the things that actually would recharge them and allow them to participate in more things because they'd have more energy.
Okay, so what you're really saying is you have to figure out what's going to renew you.
Right.
And spend and save some time for that.
Yes, exactly.
And do people have trouble figuring that out?
Yeah.
I mean, recognizing it?
Yes, and most of the time those people are the ones that have a hard time saying no. And so they don't know what to think for themselves. They've gone so long doing things for other people. Mm. And they tend to think that that's what they're passionate about, is doing for others. And on the airplane, you got to put your air mask on first,
mm-hmm.
and then save the other people. And if you're drowning in overcommitment, you can't be effective at any of those things you've committed to. So you need to take care of yourself first.
Tell me about what happens when, I think that's a little bit of all of us.
Yeah.
Or all of us are a little bit like that, and some of us are more like that. But when you work with your clients and they successfully change, tell me about how their lives change. What happens then?
I would say the biggest thing is they're a lot less stressed out. They start feeling better about themselves because they're doing something that gives them pleasure and that charge of energy back. It can totally change the relationships too. You know, if you're not grumbling and cranky and running to the next thing all the time, you can focus a little more on the actual people. You know, it gives you a little bit more space and room to actually listen to other people.
And is this possible to do?
Oh, yeah.
And how long does it take?
Well, it depends on the person. I have a couple of clients that's taken years to get them off all the boards they serve on, and now they're down to just one or two that are really important, and they are much more delightful to work with, I must say. But other people kind of get it, or maybe they're at the point they're drowning so bad that they're willing to try anything to change it and can cut off a lot more activities all at once. And then they see a much more drastic change more quickly. But it can work either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a matter of not saying yes to new things until you figure out what your absolute yeses will be.
Okay. What you're doing already, you want to continue.
Right.
Okay.
Or, you know, let it lapse and not renew, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, fulfill your commitment, but then not take anything new on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think, what is the best way to do it? What is the best way to figure out what is important to you? I mean, if you have been for years not recognizing or knowing, if you've been doing things for other people and thinking that you're doing it for you.
Right.
How do you get out of that?
Well, this is the catch 22, of course, because what it requires is a little bit of time and some quiet. And, you know, overcommitment is the antithesis of quiet. So, you know, there's about 1,000 different exercises I can share with people. But the easiest one is to just sit quietly with a cup of coffee outside of your usual spot. So not at your house, not at the usual place you get coffee, not somewhere like that. And, you know, it could be tea. But go somewhere new and different and think back to stuff you enjoyed when you were a kid.
Hmm.
What brought you the most pleasure when you were a kid? What did your mom have to yell at you 3 times to stop doing before you came to the dinner table? What were those things? And that'll give you a clue. And then you can build on that. And
why?
Journaling is big in this. You know, write out all your feelings and list all the things you do and what your feelings are about those. But the kid stuff?
Yeah, why would, I mean,
because kids enjoy the things that they like. They don't have those preconceived notions of what they should
what
be
they
doing
should do.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those are the big things that give you the hints and remain consistent, even if you've put them down, push them down, push them aside, doing other things for other people and fulfilling your shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
They're still in there. And when you start letting them out, it gets really fun.
Have you ever had it that wasn't true, that you clients make changes and it doesn't work out? I suppose there are those that go back to what they use.
I would say that it always works out. I would say it doesn't always take a straight path. You know, occasionally someone thinks they know what they're interested in and mm-hmm. they start devoting more time to it. And then usually it turns out that, oh, no, that was another should. But it was part of the process to realize that that was a should. And so it takes maybe 3 or 4 tries before they find the thing that actually is their thing.
Hmm.
But it always leads to the right place. Susan's looking at me really skeptically.
No, I was thinking about, I used to commute to where I worked, and I commuted by train from New York to Connecticut. And I sometimes would ride with this person who was going out to Stanford when they first started out to Connecticut from New York, and from a poor background and not a very well-educated background.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have, he kept asking me about things. And he would say, I think I might be interested in photography. He didn't have any hobbies that he had grown up with.
Right.
Because he didn't have any resources.
Right.
And all of a sudden he was getting resources and he was trying to figure out what he was going to spend his time and money on.
Right.
And it was so interesting to see someone who didn't have any kind of background to go from. And so he would ask me about things just to see if he might be interested in it. And I just was, it was just amazing.
He also didn't have any shoulds on
him
anymore.
No, he didn't, no.
Which is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that might be another way of looking at it, you know. Open a magazine and see which of the ads, not for the product, but which of the activities in the ads make you go, oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. And it's not exactly a bucket list, but it's kind of along those lines of stuff you would like to do and try out and interest in. And I bet as that guy started looking into things, he, you know, there was a basic interest, and then when he looked into it, it was like, oh, no, that's going to take too much of this, or that'll require that, and that's not something I'm interested in.
Well, the problem was that I thought foresaw was that he didn't have any way of learning about things. I mean, you know, if you're going to get into photography, especially back then, it takes being able to absorb.
Read.
Yeah. and you know, knowing how to go about learning something.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have any of those skills. So we'll just have to imagine that the listeners have those skills. And
right.
It would be fun to see if they could try to sort of get a blank slate like that and then start
right.
out.
I'd love to hear what people have put off doing that they've been interested in doing for a really long time and how much time they think that might take.
How much time, which would take?
To get to actually do that activity. You know, because some people will say, oh, I've always wanted to draw. Well, how long does it take you to doodle? You could be doodling while you're on the phone or sitting in a meeting and be enjoying your passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
but they haven't pulled out a pencil and a pad in a really long time because they shouldn't doodle. But they'd love to draw. So I'd like to know, you know, sometimes you can get your passions in just a couple minutes here and there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, you know, what is the thing, you know, have you not done because you thought it would take hours? And really it's something that maybe we could do in minutes.
Well, let's invite the listeners to go on Facebook and to write a comment.
Yeah.
You'll find under KUNM Radio on Facebook, and you could write a comment on the KUNM.org website, also under Women's Focus. But write a comment and tell us if you have thought of something that you've always wanted to do or you used to like to do and you actually did it and made time for that and what that was like.
Yeah, I think that any and all comments about your passions and how you find time for doing them or why you haven't would be fantastic places to discuss.
Yes, we'll look for that. Thanks for listening, and tell us what we're going to talk about next time.
Well, we had talked a little bit, Susan and I had talked a little bit about systems and how systems work in our lives and don't work in our lives and how we might be self-sabotaging ourselves by not having systems. So starting this week on my blog, actually, I began a series. I'm going to write 3 or 4 posts in a row about systems, and we're going to start talking about that.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap up now because Adam needs to come in and start getting ready for Raisis. So thanks for being with us on Women's Focus, and remember to check out KUNM.org, and there'll be some podcasts there.